Well, for the last several weeks, we've been going through something called the Seven Streams of Grace. We spent probably about 18 or 19 weeks laying down an outline of the scriptures based on 26 different segments. Or if you want to look at them, another way you could consider them like acts in a play, Act 1, Act 2, Act 3, and we worked our way through the Bible that way. And what we discovered was that from the beginning, God was full of love and generosity and power, majesty, wonder. His creation was full of all of these things. And Adam and Eve had perfect harmony with him in the garden. But they decided they wanted something better. And as we work through the Bible, we see this pattern repeated, where God acts in love and mercy and wonder, and we benefit from it, and then first thing you know, we turn around, we look for something else. We get ourselves into a mess of trouble, then God comes in, he rescues us, he provides for us reminders of his love, his mercy, his wonder, he establishes us. Once we're established, then we turn and look for something else. And this goes on for about 12 or 14 different cycles throughout the scriptures. And the final word of scripture is that the time will come when God will eradicate sin and we will be perfectly content in him. And then having laid that foundation, now what we're doing is we're going back to the beginning and we're following seven themes or streams that run through the narrative of Scripture, generally that appear in the times when God shows us his love and then disappear in the times when we turn away from him and seek our own way. Last week we followed the stream of life, and today we're going to follow another stream. Each of these streams represents something that was present in the original creation, but when Adam and Eve fell, it was lost, and then God has whispered to us of its return throughout Scripture and in our own lives, and given us a reason to believe that when all is said and done and the story is finally drawn to its conclusion, what was lost in Eden will be restored for all of us. And so today's theme is the theme of rest. Adam and Eve had perfect rest in God in Eden, and since then there have been times when God has shown us that we can indeed find that rest in him again. For our lesson this morning, I'd like to read from 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 to 24. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Don't be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil, and his brother's actions were righteous. Don't be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit that he gives us. Rest. What a peaceful word that is. Rest. Like water to a thirsty person. Like a soft bed to an overworked slave. Like a mark on a musical score after an especially difficult piece. Rest. Such a simple word. And yet, is there any word more foreign to us today than rest? We look around us and all we see is chaos, anger, frustration, events that shatter our peace and that rob us of rest. Long time ago, Job, in his anguish, was looking for wisdom, and he asked the question, where is wisdom to be found? Today, we wonder, where is rest to be found? Is it to be found in a bottle? Take a swig before you go to bed? Is it to be found in a pill that promises sweet dreams? Where are we to find rest? Will we find rest in life? Filled as it is with unexpected troubles? Will our government give us rest, since we seem to think they need to give us everything else we need? But how can our government give us rest when it can't even sit down and reason together? Will friends give us rest when often they are as restless as we are? Will money give us rest when tomorrow it might just be worthless? And speaking of tomorrow, what unrest might that bring? The child in the womb is restless to be born. The small child is restless to grow up. The teen is restless to be on her own. The young adult is restless to change the world. The older adult is restless for retirement and life spent finally doing as I please. The old person is restlessly seeking and waiting for rest. Rest from pain, rest from sorrow, rest from the disappointment of a life spent chasing after butterflies. When we're young, we seek rest in the future. When we're old, we seek rest in returning to the past. But somewhere along the way, rest moves from the future to the past and never enters the present. Everything around us seems as restless as the sea before the storm, looking for something yet to come, yearning for something left behind. The young mother tries to help her child find rest, and at first it seems easy. Just hold the child on your breast and rock until it stops wrestling and instead nestles in peaceful sleep. But all too soon the child outgrows the lap, and simple restlessness gives way to unnamed fears, monsters under the bed, ghosts in the closet. Then rocking gives way to lullabies that promise rest, and prayers that give voice to our fears, and whisper that someone greater loves us with a love beyond knowing. As I thought of rest for this morning, a hymn title came to mind, one I've never sung, but I know it very well, because when I was a child, my mom and dad had records of Tennessee Ernie Ford. And he sang this song. He started out by saying, it was from his TV show, he started out by saying, you know, the philosophers tell us to live each day and let tomorrow come, because tomorrow's strength will come tomorrow. But he said, I heard a line one time that seemed to say it even better. Lord, let me live each day so that when I go to bed, I can pray this prayer. Treat me tomorrow as I have treated my fellow man today. And then in his rich baritone, he starts singing, asleep in Jesus, peaceful rest. What a beautiful line. Asleep in Jesus, peaceful rest. But a time comes when old hymns and lullabies and memorized prayers no longer scare away the restlessness of life. A time when the things we fear no longer have names and shapes, and they no longer live under the bed or in the closet. A time when we realize that we carry the demons with us. We seek to cast them out with hard work or big dreams or any God that promises rest. Some in their seeking stumble upon God, and in Him they find their rest. Most of us seek the gifts of God, and in our restless pursuit of them, we leave the giver of the gifts far behind. And yet, in the stillness of the night, or in a restless moment during the day, when the busyness of seeking rest weighs us down and our weary hearts bid us to rest, we can't find rest because we don't know where to look. And we don't know why it's so hard to find. Sometimes that unrest comes from God Himself, because He's not content to watch us waste our lives away. So Moses would say in Deuteronomy 28, verse 65, the Lord will give you an anxious mind, eyes weary with longing, and a despairing heart. Then maybe, just maybe, you will seek Him. And if you seek Him, you will find Him. When it is rest that we seek, when it is rest that we desperately need, where are we to find rest when rest is nowhere to be found? Asleep in Jesus, peaceful rest. To answer that question, let's go back to the beginning and see if we ever did know what rest really is, and if we did, how we lost it. God offered us rest in Himself as He walked in the garden in the cool of the day. But such rest did not appeal to our ancestors. Our first parents thought they knew better. Eve sought rest in wisdom. Adam sought rest in Eve's companionship. Boy, that sure has slipped around, hasn't it? When God came walking in the cool of the day, offering the rest of His presence, they both found that His presence no longer gave them rest. Instead, his presence merely heightened their restlessness, and they hid. Having lost the rest that God offered them, they now sought rest in blaming each other for their unrest. So that's where that got started. Our politicians have learned well from Adam and Eve. And our president has at last found something that he can lead in, blaming others. God offered rest in the form of a promised Savior. But such rest did not appeal to our ancestors. They took the second chance that God offered them after the fall and decided to look for rest in their own labors, and they set about building a world. But they built with faulty tools, building things that had no quality. And in the process, they nearly destroyed the world around them. So God saved them from themselves and started afresh with Noah, again offering rest through personal accountability and repentance, a system of sacrifices by which the innocent would save the guilty, and a single promise given to one man that through one of his descendants, all people might be blessed with rest. But such rest did not appeal to our ancestors. They took the third chance that God gave them after the flood and learned that they could seek rest at the hand of other people's labor, and slavery was born. Each person demanding rest from his neighbor, as even today we seek our security by robbing from those who work to satisfy those who don't, and putting the whole bill on future generations. And in the end, we all end up restless, used up, and worn out. But God took one nation's slavery, and through their leader, Moses, offered rest. A pretty good deal. A Sabbath rest every week. A Sabbath year's rest every 7 years, and even a seventh Sabbath year rest at the end of 50 years, what we call the Jubilee. He gave them houses they did not build and fields they did not plant, but that were ready for harvesting. But such rest did not appeal to our ancestors. They took the fourth chance that God gave them after slavery in Egypt, and instead of resting in God, they used that rest as an excuse, each to do what was right in his own eyes, guaranteeing that what rest one might find would quickly be lost as each one's search for rest robbed his neighbor of a portion of his rest. Rest gave way to greed and envy and jealousy. So God raised up righteous kings, and under them enabled, in the words of 1 Kings 4, verse 25, each man to live under his own vine and fig tree. Imagine that. Every family living on its own estate. And all he asked for in return was that they honor him as God. But such rest did not appeal to our ancestors. They took the fifth chance that God gave them after their experience in anarchy, and seeking a different rest, they turned away from God and his Torah, his law, and toward the false freedom of sin and false gods. Instead of rest, they found only the misery of endless searching for an elusive promise that their newfound gods could not fulfill. The books of wisdom describe the true God as a shepherd and his people as sheep who could find their rest beneath the rod and staff of his law and mercy. The prophets proclaim that in repentance they could find rest and salvation. But such rest did not appeal to our ancestors. They took the sixth and seventh chances that God gave them in their idolatry, and they still sought rest their own way in folly and in sin. Satisfy the self, the liar said, and you will have rest. But the lie only led to endless unrest, broken relationships, empty and meaningless lives, and eventually exile. Still, in spite of the hardness of their hearts, God preserved a remnant of them. He rebuilt their city, rebuilt their temple, rebuilt their faith, and once again offered himself as their rest. Hope in me, he said, and you will renew your strength. You will soar on wings like eagles. You will run and not grow weary. You shall walk and not be faint. In other words, you can still find your rest in me. But such rest did not appeal to our ancestors. They took the seventh chance that God gave them after the exile, and in the centuries that followed, they traded a living trust and faith with empty laws and rituals. And when our rest finally did come, born in Bethlehem and appearing in Capernaum, they did not recognize or accept it. Instead, they sought to destroy him. He said, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." They said, "Not your will, but mine be done." We got our will. The Prince of Rest and Peace died at our own hands. And still we wonder, where are we to find rest? Asleep in Jesus, peaceful rest. But the rest that we thought we killed on the cross cannot be destroyed by mere mortals. God raised him from the dead and offers to all who follow him that same rest and peace that he promised, that same rest and peace that even death cannot destroy or disturb. Then he set about to build a new nation, a nation based not on blood or heritage, but a nation based on faith, whose citizens live by faith and find rest in obedience and peace in a Savior whose love is stronger than life, stronger even than death. Then he waited to see if this spiritual nation would do any better than the nation built on blood and heritage. But such rest did not appeal to our ancestors. They took the eighth chance that God gave them after we killed our Savior. And while some of the Savior's people, like some of the descendants of Jacob, would find rest in God, most, like their half-brothers and sisters in Israel, would seek rest in all the old worn-out places. Money, the labor of others, ritual, and the freedom to do as we please. And so we are tempted still. And so we still catch ourselves seeking rest in false wisdom based on experience rather than on God's truth. Seeking rest in expecting other people to fill our needs. Seeking rest in clinging to others even when they lead us away from God. Seeking rest in blaming others for what is wrong in our lives. seeking rest in demanding our own way, and in the process robbing others of rest, even as we fail to find it ourselves. Seeking rest in a sexual freedom that only enslaves. Seeking rest in a freedom promised by wealth that leads only to stronger chains. Seeking rest in man-made gods that our imaginations dream up. Gods that are as empty as the minds that created them. Seeking rest in empty rituals and religious exercises that make us feel profound for a time, but cannot give rest because they have no rest to give, only a constant yearning for something more. Yet, in spite of ourselves, God's Spirit still moves, still stirs, still calls, still heals, still brings yet new citizens into this kingdom of faith. Where can rest be found in this weary world? Asleep in Jesus, oh how sweet. Some people like to look within themselves, thinking that the answer to everything can be found within. So let us look within ourselves. There you will find not the rest you seek, but rather an empty void that only God can fill. Last week we sought life. We asked, what robbed our first parents of life? We found out it was simply the death that they swallowed when they ate from the forbidden tree. As a result, since death was at work in them, they no longer had life to pass on to us. Only a twisted, decaying death at work in every part of our being. Life could only come from one who had life to offer, who could come into the depths of our being and bear the death that is within us, and in its place leave the seeds of a new creation. A life that comes from himself, the giver of life. This week we are seeking rest. We ask, what robbed our first parents of the rest that they enjoyed in Eden? And we found out it was simply the guilt and ultimate disappointment of seeking rest where it could not be found. Our first parents could not teach us to find a rest that they themselves had spurned. Rest can only come from one who has rest to give. And we who are made for fellowship with God, but who still seek rest everywhere but God, and fail to find it, will only find rest when we stop looking for it where it can't be found, and seek it in the only place it exists, in God, the creator even of rest. If it is guilt that robbed us of our rest, then rest can be found only in the one who is able to bear our guilt. In today's lesson, John tells us, this then is how we know we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest. How we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. That's what robs us of our rest. Our restless hearts. Condemning us for looking in the wrong places, always bickering with us, saying, no, that's not the rest I want, look somewhere else. No, that's not the rest I'm looking for, look somewhere else. But John says we can set our hearts at rest. Where? asleep in Jesus. Oh, how sweet. In His presence, whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. That's supposed to give us rest. He knows everything. Well, maybe if He knows everything, we can give up the endless work of trying to pretend to Him that we are something that we're not, and start with who we are, and allow Him to take us where we can't go. Asleep in Jesus, peaceful rest. Ah, sweet rest. The rest we've been looking for. And it's found in none other than Jesus, the one who bore our death that we might have life, is also the one who bears our guilt so that we might know rest. A friend of Megan's, commenting on that verse from 1 John, had this to say. This is amazing. He seems to be saying that if our hearts condemn us, that is, if we are reminded of all our sin and feel guilty and unworthy, we believers need only look to God instead, because God is greater than our hearts. And if our hearts do not condemn us, then praise the Lord for the confidence He gives us. Either way, I think he's on to something here. The focus is on God and not on what we are feeling. That, he concluded, is very comforting. Talk about an understatement. Very comforting indeed. That, my friend, is genuine rest. And it is found when, in his words, the focus is on God and not on what we are feeling, even when what we are feeling is unrest. St. Augustine once prayed these words to God, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." Asleep in Jesus, oh how sweet. Jesus put it most simply when he said, "Come to me, you who know the weariness in you, you who are heavy laden with the burdens of this life, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." It's hard to be gentle when you don't know rest. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It was true in Eden. It will one day be realized throughout the new creation. And we can know its truth today. In the Lord alone, is true rest found. 12 times in the Psalms, we are told of the uniqueness of God in words like this. "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him." When you follow the psalmist's advice, when you answer the invitation of Jesus and come to Him, then the words of the prophet will be true for you, who said, This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and resting in me is your salvation. In quietness and trusting in me is your strength. O people of God, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be to you when you cry for help. As soon as he hears you, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your way will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see the path that you shall take. Whether you turn to the left or to the right, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk in it." Then you will despise the false paths that you took for yourselves, all the things that you trusted in that drew you away from me. You will throw them away like a menstrual cloth. And you will say to them, "Away with you. What did I ever see in you?" Are you tired? Have you been seeking rest and coming up empty? Listen to the words of Isaiah, through whom God said, "I am your resting place. Let the weary rest. And I am the place of repose." Seek your rest in God and in the Savior Jesus Christ. For God promises that those who seek him will find him, and that his is not a rest, it is the only rest that satisfies. And he offers us this promise in Hebrews 4, verse 10. Anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own labors. Quit laboring for what does not satisfy. Quit spending your wealth on that which does not nourish you. Jesus calls to us. Find your rest in him. Asleep in Jesus, peaceful rest. Father, we turn to you because we have found that there is no rest anywhere else. Father, we are weary. We are weary living in a world that does not honor you. And we are weary living with ourselves. Help us to hear the invitation. Help us to answer the call. Are you weary and heavy laden? Our Savior says, "Come to me. And I will give you rest."